A Tale of Two Persons. There's a lot of characters, people in our gospel, in our readings, but there's difference. We have Judas and we have Peter. Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter denied Jesus. Both bad. Judas, realizing what he had done, ends up taking his own life. That he basically says, I can't believe what I've done. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. Peter, as we will hear in the next few weeks, that yes, he betrays Jesus. Then he turns violent today in our gospel. But in time, he turns back to the Lord, and we will hear him say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That even though I have messed up, that Peter trusts in Jesus' mercy and love, that he turns toward him. He says, in effect, Lord, I need you. Yes, I'm weak. Yes, I'm broken. I need you. And perhaps that's a clue that our brokenness doesn't have to be something that turns us away from God, but becomes an invitation to lean into him. We hear more in Luke's gospel than in John today of two other people, of the two criminals on the cross. That one of the criminals turned to Jesus and it says he reviled him. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Like, I want to be taken down from this suffering. The other criminal turns to Jesus and says, have you no fear of God? And indeed, we have been condemned justly. And then he turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The one criminal wants to be taken down. Make the suffering stop. And God wouldn't allow me to suffer. A good God wouldn't allow me to suffer. And so he uses that as an excuse, a reason to turn away from him. The other one recognizes, I'm not innocent. And Jesus, you are God. I need you. He turns toward Jesus. And Jesus says, amen, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, in his incredible love, does not stand far off as we suffer, but he chooses to come near to us to save us. But whether he saves us or not is up to us. A Tale of Two Persons. I used to have a perspective of God and trying to live my life in a way that I would never mess up. I mean, that's what we're called to do, be perfect. And it felt like I was walking on a high wire, you know, the tightrope, and I would feel that way mostly after I fell. And I would beat myself up. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe, and then even in conversation, right? I can't believe I said that. That was so silly. That was so dumb what I said. People probably think I'm an idiot, you know? And like we beat ourselves up. And underlying that is this idea that I have to be perfect. And Jesus said, you know, God has no need to beat me up because I do a pretty good job myself, you know? And over time, I've learned, like, as I look now, I realize that's where I was at. That's the kind of my mentality. And that now I realize God knows I'm not perfect, but he wants a relationship with me. And that my brokenness, the cracks in my life, have actually been the very openings by which his mercy has come into me. And that my awareness with my brokenness actually opens me up to be a vessel of his love for others. That I actually need Jesus, that in my brokenness I can lean into him. And the more I do that, the more his love, the more his life is lived in me. That it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Insofar as I live by the Son of God, by the grace of God, who died out of love for me. This day we remember how Jesus draws near to us. But the degree to which we can be transformed by his grace is determined by how much we're willing to open the door, how much we lean into him, or we despair. I used to, when I look at the cross, I would think about, I can't believe my sin did that to Jesus. But over time, the Lord has transformed my heart, and that now when I see a crucifix, I feel, oh, how much my Lord loves me. Those are two different ways of being, and you and I are invited to turn to him again and again in our brokenness, because we're broken. We need a Savior. But the more I allow his grace to penetrate me, to transform me, that I become more and more like him, that his love, that the union of Christ in me is radiated to the world. With that is a crucifixion. With that is a suffering. But in that suffering, as I embrace it, that I encounter the Lord on the cross with me. That I don't run from suffering like the criminal. That I recognize that suffering in the cross is the very tool, the very instrument that God uses to chip away my old self and transform me into the new man, as Scripture says. That I actually need the cross. I need a Savior, Jesus, at work, who doesn't stand far off but draws near. And so I pray that, yeah, my story at the end of time is of two persons, me and Jesus, having become one. It's never too late. I had an encounter with, when I was a youth minister for a couple of years after college, and I ran into this guy probably about 12 years ago, and he had gone to the Naval Academy and done these really impressive things, and I was talking to him, and he was updating me on all these journeys, and he'd gotten married and had kids and all this stuff, and I'm like, that's awesome. And so we were finished talking, and I kind of turned and walked away, and he said, oh, Father Matt, one more thing. I was like, what's that? He goes, my parents got back together. I was like, what? That his parents, at the time I knew him, they lived separately, they'd gotten a divorce, and it was just that's what's best for everybody, that's what's best for the kids. And years later, they had not allowed that fracture to keep them going two different directions, but they had leaned into their weakness, they had humbly acknowledged their brokenness and their ability to hurt one another, and it had actually healed and redeemed and made their relationship even stronger. So much so that the son, that's what he wanted me to know more than anything. That redemption is possible. That this day shows us that God has a plan to redeem all things. Especially those things that feel hopeless as death. We experience death with the death of a person. We experience death in the death of a relationship, the death of a dream. And it feels like our heart will never love again. It feels like the light will never come on in our lives again. But Jesus has a plan to be with us in our brokenness and in our darkness. And if we are willing to embrace Him, walk with Him, allow His grace to transform us, His love to pour over us, that He will redeem us in all things as well.